Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Hello.
And joined by Josh Brown.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about all things remasters, remakes, redos, reworks, whatever you can think of, because we've been talking a lot about the Spyro Reignited trilogy, because it's bloody gorgeous.
Yes, it
is one of the best remakes / remasters of all time so far. And basically, we had this whole conversation, which kind of started around about the Game of the Year awards last year, as to what qualifies for a new game. Should Spyro have been in the running for 2018 Game of the Year? And if you've watched our Game of the Year for 2017, when Crash Bandicoot, the remake,
came number
out,
five, wasn't it?
That got in, because Josh and Jules are actually insane, and they insisted on
it. I think I might have voted for it as well.
Yeah, you might have done.
I can't remember.
Scamp. And so that became one of the games of the year for the end of that. Yeah, which I'll never live down. But according to Josh Brown, that's completely fine. So we're going to have a whole podcast on what constitutes whether one of these games should be considered a new game and all that kind of stuff.
This is such a long time coming. We have had endless debates about this. And despite me converting a lot of people in the office.
That's Jules.
Well, and Ash, actually.
I still don't think Ash is fully on your side. But anyway, carry on. She goes back and forward so much that I don't know.
Ash?
But,
I know. I'm fully convinced that games like Crash Bandicoot, Insane Trilogy, and Spyro Reignited should be considered as modern games, despite the fact that they are very much built on old mechanics and ideas, but they have been reimagined in a way that sort of should make them eligible for Game of the Year consideration.
Okay, so my opening gambit is if you can answer this question, what do these new games fundamentally bring to the table that wasn't there before outside of visuals?
Here's the thing, right? When my main comparison here is movie remakes, because that's that's the only real frame of reference that we have for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, movies get remade all the time, whereas when games get remade or rebooted, it's often just a reboot. Like Tomb Raider 2013 is sort of similar to the old Tomb Raider games, but it's very much a reimagining of that world. Mm-hmm. Whereas games only have recently been remade conventional sense. So I would say, what does it bring to the table that's new? It is definitely visuals, it is sound, it is assets, it is everything, with the exception of maybe the core kind of mechanical basis. But because this is where my argument hinges, is that the core mechanical sort of foundation, it's not exactly the same, because it's not built on the same source code or same thing. It's an interpretation. Yeah, but the games I'm talking about aren't built on the same source code. Mm. And I say that's why it's a new game, because it's a new developer, a new team trying to recreate what's already out there.
Okay.
And that to me is sort of different from just kind of remastering a title where the foundation's already there.
Okay, Rich, where do you stand on this?
So coming off on Josh's point about based on like engine and source code, if you had to boil, it's hard to boil down this, because this debate is, there's so many variables, it's all completely grey. There's no definitive yes or no unless you're Scott Telford.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, if a game has been remade and it's on an entirely different architecture, it should be considered as a full remake.
Yes.
And therefore should be considered as a new game that's been built, because in the grand scheme of things, it has been built from the ground up as a new game. The idea about bringing something new to the table, I kind of understand that idea. Mm. The only thing that I can think of that would constitute to that, but also being a true remake, is to fix something wrong with the original game. Mm-hmm. Whereas Something like Crash that ended up on our Game of the Year, not last year, but the year before. It's weird saying that. They managed to mess up those things with how the platforming felt, how slippery and slidey the edges of things were, and it ended up actually breaking something, not fixing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nearly always going to be a case-by-case basis, but the example that you gave about, like, movies being remade, like, they're not... The only remake of a movie that was shot for shot exactly the same was the Psycho one with Vince... Was it Vince Vaughn?
See, that is one of them, but that's not the only one. There have been lots...
Sorry, yes, okay, so the Wreck or whatever. Like, there's been some other ones, but they're very few and far between, so I would say that they're the anomaly, but we can bring them back in. But in terms of, like, using the film comparison, like, unless a movie is shot for shot the exact same thing. I mean, it's weird because, like, when Wonderful Life got colorized, or when any movie gets a 4K update or whatever, they're not new movies, but the visuals are overhauled.
Yes.
So it's like, it doesn't make it a 2006 movie that was originally released in 1990 or whatever. Like, it's visual, not gameplay.
I think that stems into a different side of this argument, which is the remake versus remaster debate. Because in my opinion, a remaster is a game that has been, as you said about A Wonderful Life or game or things, films being re-released. Like, here's Jurassic Park in 3D. Like, who cares? But here it is anyway.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but it's just been polished over. So something like, for example, I mean, porting a game between generations probably wouldn't really count, like GTA on the 360 and PS3 versus it on PS4, PC and Xbox One now. That doesn't really constitute as a remake, whereas the Skyrim Special Edition is just the same game with the visuals upped in terms of, like, the resolution of the textures. That's basically what the video game equivalent to what you're saying about just a film being re-released in a new way.
Why did the Skyrim Special Edition with those overhauled visuals not count as a new game in 2015 or whatever it was, as opposed to Spyro?
Because this is what, like, I'll go back to what Rich said. When you sort of reimagine, like, Spyro, you, like, update the resolution, you're going back to something that already exists. You are just plugging back into that sort of, you're going back to that code, you're up-resing the textures or whatever. You are not creating them again. You are not fundamentally creating everything or a good chunk of it again, whereas when you go back to Spyro, you don't have that core there to begin with. You have it as reference, but then you are building your own version of it, trying to imitate it, whereas they are two kind of, like, different products. When you go back and remaster, say, when George Lucas went back and put in special effects into Star Wars, he went back to the core thing and then inserted them into what was already there, kind of bolting stuff on. He didn't sort of create the whole thing again so that would fit sort of consistently with it, whereas when Spyro, there is, like, an overhauled sort of visual design, for instance.
Yes.
It's trying to maintain the same personality that was there originally, but it is sort of entirely Toys for Bob's own sort of take on that version. It is something new, whereas it's not just being plugged in to the old version or spruced up from an old version.
See, having gone from the original trilogy, like, I rebought it and went back through the first two on my Vita, and, like, going from them to Spyro, yeah, obviously the visuals, the attitude is a little bit tweaked for the modern age. Like, Spyro has a very slight different, he's almost more, like, kind of punky and more, like, pugnacious and energetic than he is in the new one.
Yeah.
And in the old one, he's a bit more kind of snarly, and he's just a little bit different, but it's always because it's video games as a medium, for me, it has to drill down to the core of the essence of the medium. So, like, it's like, well, what do these new games bring to the table in 2018 that wasn't there before? And so for that, it's like, well, in Crash's case, it was unilateral control schemes across all three games. Whereas in Spyro, it's like, well, we added right stick analog control.
Yeah.
But that was in the Vita version anyway. You had to go into the options and enable it and stuff, but it was in there. And so I'm like, how am I fundamentally playing Spyro Reignited versus playing the PS1 one? And the answer to that question is, I'm not. I'm still playing fundamentally the same experience.
Yeah.
And when you said before about, like, they're aiming to imitate what was there before but deliver their own spin on it, that almost cancels itself out, because you can only imitate it to a certain degree before you have recreated that thing, and then you're doing for 2018's audience what they did back in 1997.
Well, that's interesting, because, like, obviously, if you go, like, a lot of people really love the Spyro Reignited trilogy.
Oh god, I have to say I adore it. Like, course, it's phenomenal.
But
yeah.
If you go into, like, the diehard fans, there will be people picking apart, like, the visual differences, and I think that is indicative of the fact that it is kind of their own take on this franchise. Like, each of the dragons, say, in the first Spyro game have been kind of, like, reimagine, they all have individual character models now.
Yeah,
visually. And some of the lines are different, but it's supposed to be, like,
vast majority is the same.
Yeah, vast majority is the same. But each one of those character models is now different, whereas there were 10 I read in the original that were kind of, like, recolored and stuff. So even in that alone, you kind of have these visual differences that don't impact gameplay, but sort of impact the feel and the experience of actually playing that game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it depends what you think. It's more of, like, a philosophical thing.
Because
I think for you, you kind of are very much focused on a game is kind of, like, gameplay first, and everything else sort of adds to that. But if nothing has fundamentally changed, then does that count as a new game?
Yeah, even that. I mean, I don't like rules for the most part. It's just that, like, for the sake of having the debate, you have to address certain rule sets. So, like, that thing, it's like some games, like, visuals play a much bigger part of the percentage of why you enjoy it. Something like Gris is incredibly visually, you know, identifiable, and it's just drinking that game in on a visual level is great. But that's the thing. I still, like, if I still asked you, like, what does it fundamentally bring to the table? Other than visuals,
right.
I don't know, because you well, because yep. To bring Richard, you were saying yesterday about like the it's about game engines as well. Like if you have a new game engine that fundamentally makes it new.
I mean, your argument, I agree with both of you, but like Scott's argument as well about the idea that it doesn't really bring too much. It's just in itself a remake does put those in a grey area as to whether they should be considered new games or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you're going to lead on to this point, but then you have the games that take an old game and they reinvent the entire thing.
Like Resident Evil 2's
like
upcoming
Resident Evil
remake.
2's remake.
Yes.
Exactly. That, for example, for me, would be considered a brand new game.
Totally.
Because it's something completely new.
Yes, on the game side too.
Yeah.
So that's the crux of my whole thing, because like... There's a weird grey area we're going to get into later this year with Crash Team Racing, because I don't think that qualifies yet. I haven't played it yet. But like they're bringing in new levels that Naughty Dog never used, and they're giving it online functionality, which is a core thing to the gameplay side that wasn't there before. I don't think that makes it qualify, because it's still 90% the same
thing.
Well,
I mean, exactly. I mean, kind of a weird parallel to that. Think of something like Switch Online with the NES stuff. You can play
like leaderboards
online.
Stuff.
Does that make that a new game, even though it's still literally just the NES game running on an emulator?
I would say if it went more down that route and they had more fleshed out multiplayer side of things. I mean, they brought Windjammers back and made that online. You can play that on PS4 and it's online. A lot of old school games come back with modern functionality. I think it depends how much that then reframes the experience overall.
But then the flip side to that, something that I was kind of trying to get my head around as to where I could put this into conversation, is the idea of the fan service side of things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think, I don't know what it was recently, I think it might have been... Shenmue 3, I think we were making this for the fans, or something's being made for the fans recently. That horrible phrase, which means basically we're going to bollocks it and you're going to like it because it's just a fan game.
Maybe.
If you bring out a remake of a game and you change so much, maybe that would make the fans of the original game less keen. I mean, as an example, take Modern Warfare Remastered from a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Not only did they botch that by bunging it only in the special edition, and then by the time they released it standalone, nobody cared anymore. Mm-hmm. When you look at the multiplayer, they changed so much and pumped so much modern. Obviously, this was the height of rubbish microtransactions. They bunged all that in, and people hated it. Mm-hmm. If you change so much, maybe not in that same way, but if you added in too much modern stuff into what people would expect to be an old game, would it then make it worse?
Well, that's what happened
with,
like...
fans have that expectation.
That's what happened with the Dungeon Keeper, where EA just, like, pumped that full of microtransactions when they re-released it.
Same with Command & Conquer and Diablo.
And the new Lemmings as well. Like, that's, like, a way of taking, like, the code side of it and then, like, plugging stuff into it. What was the thing you were going to say before, if you remember what it was?
Oh, or maybe something else. I was going to say that's kind of, like, linking it to what Richard said. That's the really fascinating thing for me, especially with the remasters Activision are pumping out.
Yes.
Because they are very much designed specifically to, this is going to sound bad, but it kind of weaponizes nostalgia in a way. It
Ooh.
Wants you to sort of like
you
remember
games journalist.
It wants you to remember playing these games as kids.
Yes.
And it wants to replicate that same feeling. It is very much banking on you rediscovering these games and thinking back to you playing them before in order to sell them. So I think that's why they are specifically trying to recreate that same feel with like updated sort of features and sounds and voice acting and cutscenes or whatever. But it is very much trying to capitalize on that nostalgia we all have for those like classic mascots and try to reinvent your youth. Whereas Resident Evil 2, that's coming out, is kind of doing that, but it's very much its own spin on it, and that doesn't seem all too concerned really about using that nostalgia in order to sort of sell products. They're still banking on you really enjoying Resident Evil 2, but it's a reimagining of Resident Evil 2. It is not for people who only played Resident Evil 2.
No, I think that's the thing. Like the best remakes are the ones that make you because everyone has a mind's eye view of the games they played as a kid, and then you go back to them and you're like, oh my god, it's blocky as hell. Oh my god, it's not as responsive as I remember. And like the best remakes are the ones that play like the mind's eye version of that game, which is entirely what Spyro is.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to the original Spyro, you'll find that the platforming isn't like, you know, it's still quite floaty, and they retained a lot of that in the new one. But those older games aren't necessarily as completely tight as the new ones. But again, like I wouldn't say that's a fundamental change, but whatever. Whereas, like something like Resident Evil 2 is completely overhauled to be more like Resi 4 and has a completely different appeal because of that. I wonder if like the metric is just percentage, like the percentage of the experience that is different.
Right.
Like, whereas I wouldn't say that the percentage of the Spyro experience isn't different enough, but Resi 2 would be, Shadow of the Colossus wouldn't be, because it's not, it's just, that's entirely a visual overhaul. It plays exactly the same. Control schemes a bit different. But
I think that's that replays into the grey area of this whole debate as to where you draw that line. For example, is another weird parallel when you're playing pool and somebody pots the white, what constitutes a shooting down the table? There's always so many different interpretations as to how to take that in. And I feel like you can kind of apply that to this. Because, I mean, somebody might completely disagree with you, Scott. I'm sure people will.
Daily.
Spyro and
sitting
Crash
next to two of them right now.
CTR show. I didn't say I disagree with you.
Not yet. True.
He's the impartial party.
Yes, he is.
I am being the impartial person here.
Just the one.
I think it's just like my position on it is. I think it's so grey, and I think I'm sitting on the fence, and I'm quite happily sitting on the fence. And I think it's one of those things where it's worth deciding based on the game. I don't really feel like you could put down a specific set of rules as to what constitutes as to being a new enough game to be considered for things like Game of the Year, because then there'll be so many things people can say, oh, but what about this? Because that doesn't come under that. Like, I think it's one of those things you should take and look at per game rather than as a whole.
Also, I mean, we had Pokemon Let's Go on the Game of the Year last year, and my argument for that at the time, and I stand by it now, is that it fundamentally is a different game. Obviously,
absolutely,
it's very much Pokemon Yellow, but it's got, there's all the hybridized elements from Pokemon Go. You don't catch in the same way. Like, the way that the world is populated is different. Random battles are gone. It changes the way that certain areas, the difficulty in those areas and stuff. So that worked for me in terms of the
justification. Me personally, that improved Pokemon tenfold.
Yeah, especially
like,
the
grindy element of the old games. Whenever I boot up Ruby or Red or Yellow, and I'm just thinking, I can't be bothered. I've got a Pidgey and a Pikachu, and it's like, I cannot be asked to sit and walk around in circles and level them up. And I, back in the day, we could. I mean, the idea of having an RPG on your Game Boy Advance SP, for me, like, that was incredible. But nowadays, I'm like, not that I'm a millennial and my attention span is super short. It's more just like, I can't be bothered to do this. And then Let's Go took all that and went, okay, let's make it more accessible to you and therefore a hell of a lot more fun. So, you know, that like week, 2 weeks was just solidly Pokemon.
Yeah, the initial launch window was great. And like, but that's the thing. They refined the mechanics and made it play with a different sense of, like a different set of gameplay loops or a different sense of flow or whatever you want to call it. It plays differently fundamentally than the other games did. And so to bring it back around again, that's always going to be my go-to thing.
Yeah.
Is that like, other than gorgeous visuals and they did refine like the animation systems and stuff. Like they had to rebuild the game in a way that I don't think the Crash ones did. Like, the new Spyro plays perfectly. It plays like how you imagine the old games did. But that's the thing, on a fundamental level, other than camera controls.
Yeah, and obviously that shouldn't be knocked, managing to recreate an engine like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's a feat,
it's,
but
it's
like,
quite
that's kind of where I get to it. I know you're not discrediting the work that the developers did on these games, but when I come from it, the place I come from is that they have spent like so much time trying to recapture the feel, and they have redone the cutscenes, they have sort of re-recorded the lines, maybe changed them here and there, redesign things. There's a lot of effort that's sort of gone into these games, and I think to just sort of describe them as, oh, it's still just the exact same, is kind of, I don't know, it kind of does a disservice in my eyes to like the overall experience of what playing these games is like. Yeah, fundamentally, there's nothing mechanically that's all that different about Crash, especially, and Spyro, but the overall experience of playing it is different. Those things to me do impact the overall kind of enjoyment or the feel or like the atmosphere you get from it, depending on like what the visuals are or how the music sounds or how things are voice acted.
Yeah.
That does have a much larger impact. And I'll go back to again, because this is the only frame of reference where we kind of have like the shot for shot movie remix.
Yes.
Funny Games in 1997 came out, like the horror movie, and then it was remade in 2007 by the same director, using the same house, the same script translated into English, the same props, the same shots, but had different actors. But no one would say that is the same movie as the original Funny Games. People have their preferences. And it's like those subtle differences are kind of, it's still important to me in a way, like with games, like the structure and the foundations have been recreated to be the same, but everything else still adds to the overall impact and the overall.
Well, that's the percentile experience way of coming down on it. Because like, and plus, just for the sake of outlining, there's no way that I'm saying it's a negative thing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm not discrediting anything. The work that Toys and Bob have done is phenomenal. Like, honestly, this is my favorite remake of anything. Like, remake of anything. I love the way it plays and feels and looks and everything. The crux of this whole conversation is just the quantifiable elements of what makes it a remake, remaster, and Games of the Year type stuff. But it doesn't discredit the work that's put into it.
Of course.
I think to open the debate up even wider, like, not necessarily specifically about remakes, but the idea of what should be constituted as something that can count towards the end of the year awards. Surely just any game that isn't a generational turnover port, so something like Wolfenstein The New Order, Call of Duty Ghosts, GTA 5, anything that's released within that year should be, like, anything new, basically, should be considered anyway. Even though Spyro, as you said, is a remaster, it's still a new game.
It does so much.
Whereas something like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but for example, a game that, say, released on PC first 1 year and then the year after came out and everything else. Dead Cells, should that still be considered a game of the year? I know it was, but, like, should it be, since it technically came out on PC first?
Most, and I totally do this, most, like, console coverage tends to just discard PC entirely.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to keep up with the release dates if you go off either early access dates or just, like, because obviously the console base is so much bigger, so the majority of people are going to keep up with console release dates. But that's obviously, like, another side of it as well, is, like, how much are you classing the release dates based on when it was first out in the public?
Because there's an extent when you're talking about the whole remaster versus remake, does that kind of discriminate that one tiny portion of games that are released in that year versus, like, other than obviously things not releasing that year, everything else seems to be eligible, whereas that tiny little portion aren't.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
it's, I think that kind difficult. Of makes me, like, if there was a load of different variables that would, like, that not necessarily remakes, that would also make other games not necessarily eligible, then I feel like I have a bit more legs to it. But I think in the grand scheme of things, if a game is released 1 year, it should be,
I tell you what,
in
as
the
well,
grand scheme of things, eligible.
Yeah, I mean, like, thinking about it, like, you've got, like, you got that Pokemon Let's Go thing, and obviously, like I said, fundamentally Pokemon Go hybridized the kind of thing, the way that it plays. But this new, like, kind of rush of, like, remakes or whatever, like, you got the Abe's Odyssey one, you got Crash and Spyro, Medieval's coming out. Medieval's more like just a skin overhaul by the looks of it, looking at the gameplay. But, like, there's that. It's like, is this a whole new category of remakes? Was that what you were going to say?
This is what I'm so, like, fascinated about, right? Because at the start of this generation, we had the idea of HD remasters, right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's so different.
Just kind of like ports.
That was just basically a blood pool.
Upgraded. Skyrim, same as like that.
Which is why your film remake thing didn't gel with me.
Yes.
Because that's all they're doing.
I feel like
they're two very different sides of very different courts.
Only if it's the ones that are shot for shot remake. It doesn't matter anyway. What was you going to say?
The whole point is, like, I think now, going into the future, we are very clearly moving away from that. Yeah, we still have HD remasters, but now we are going down the kind of remake route. And we are arguing whether or not Crash and Spyro are eligible, but you've got things like Ratchet and Clank, which is very much a sort of reimagining. We've got Resident Evil 2. We had Resident Evil on the GameCube back in the day, but I think that sort of started this wave of new ways to interpret old games that we're getting now. That is markedly different from just a HD remaster.
Yeah.
But as we are arguing today, might not be eligible for a full remake on UK.
The only way that I can kind of boil it down to like a rule set, it has to be percentage based. It's like how much do these new elements like change on an overall percentage basis, the percentage of that game. So it's like Resident Evil is a visual overhaul. Obviously, they tightened up the mechanics and the way that the characters control. They added like analog controls, so you're not doing the tank controls. And that first Resident Evil remake on GameCube, later PS4, is like phenomenal. One of the best overhauls of anything. But something like, I don't know, Shadow of the Colossus is very like mechanically similar. Mm-hmm. There was an example you mentioned just before.
Oh, God.
I can't remember which one it was, but like it's it has to come down to like Spyro again. It's like how much are the visuals affecting the way that you play it, and like it kind of all just boils down to that stuff. So maybe there is a way to kind of apply a rule set.
But
to
he's
it.
That's why I think we will never agree, because I think everyone's own personal kind of assumption of how much it impacts the game will change. There are people out there who do not give a crap about like graphics and stuff like that, and who only care about the gameplay. And that's not a bad way to sort of view games. Like that's totally eligible. But there are people out there like me where the visuals are a huge part of the experience, and the core gameplay is fine, but I'm going to take more stock in visual changes than someone else might. Someone else might not give a crap what Spyro looks like, as long as that sweet platforming material is still there. You know what
okay,
I mean?
So that's what I was going to say. I was going to mention Ratchet and Clank because you brought that up.
Yeah.
And so that is like, a remake of the original, but it has entirely new cutscenes and the story is framed differently. It's a retrospective. You're looking back. Like it's basically Captain Quark and Ratchet and Clank talking as they're in jail cells, talking about when they had all that and then it flashes back and you do those missions leading back up to that point again. So Insomniac found a way of like addressing the old but giving it like a new spin. And so that should have been qualified as a new game because it's like it's more fundamentally different.
Yeah.
But you're still playing it. Everything is kind of overhauled in that thing. That ends up getting thrown in the same bucket with Resident Evil or the HD remakes or whatever. That just it's like it doesn't get thought of as it changed the game.
Yes.
Like, but
This is why it's so. I keep saying that a lot. This is why it's so interesting.
It's philosophical, man.
Maybe it's just interesting to me.
We're all massive nerds.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, this is why it's interesting to me because it's so early in the sort of games are still a very sort of young medium and we're only really getting around to the idea of kind of full remakes now. So we've got ones that could be considered shot for shot remakes, and then we've got reimaginings like that, and we've got others that are just completely different. And that's kind of like what film has as well. They have shot for shot remakes that are fundamentally the same. They have remakes that aren't shot for shot but are pretty much identical. Like horror movies do this all the time. Like Eli Roth's Cabin Fever is more or less exactly the same as the Cabin Fever that came out in 2017, though that one is far worse despite them having the same core structure. And then you've got wildly different reimaginings of older properties like Suspiria that came out this year. And I think that as we go forward in games, we're going to see those three divergent paths like come up as well.
Probably.
We're already seeing them in like sort of the shot for shot of Spyro, the complete reimagining of Ratchet and Clank, and then I mean the sort of structural reimagining of Ratchet and Clank.
It's like recontextualization
of
those adventures.
And then the complete reboot of Tomb Raider. So I think as we go forward, we might see that diversifying. I think right now we're just sort of at this stage where this is all new and scary and who knows what the hell's going to happen.
Because we were talking about Black Mesa before, and it's like that their way of, because it's beat for beat Half-Life, but better, like remastered.
Yeah, they changed enough of it to make it feel sort of new, but also not to detract from Half-Life. You know, Half-Life's one of the best games ever made, and you know, people won't hear a bad word said about it. But like, if you go in and change that, if you can go in and you can change that game and you get this unanimous praise from a community that's 20 years old, then you've done something right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, like, would it consider in your criteria, would it be considered a remaster or
a new game?
Would it be considered a new game? Probably not, because of how much it does change. But I think the experience of it, for me, I would say yes.
Right.
I would say yes, nominate it for everything. It's incredible that they've managed to do this and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, just stemming off something that was mentioned earlier about like awards and things, What do you think, as you said, Josh, like this, the industry is evolving and it feels like remakes, like full on remakes, I think remasters are kind of dying out because the backwards compatibility push and stuff being available on like PlayStation Now and whatever kind of caters to the whole, okay, here's your nostalgia, there it is.
It's their way of monetizing it. Yeah.
Do you think that remakes in themselves would kind of become their own sort of, not a subgenre, but like a parent genre? And that eventually we could, like, if there's like two or three remasters a year, kind of like a VR games category at the Game Awards, it's quite small, but it's like best remake every year, because we'll get like two or three remakes every year from here on out.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we've got Resident Evil 2, and we've got Crash, and we've got Medieval, so that's at least three.
Final Fantasy 7's on the horizon as well.
Whenever that'll be.
Yeah, if it's even real.
I feel like maybe that could become a new sort of parent sub whatever genre of gaming, and I think that's, I like that idea.
Well, that's the thing.
Especially companies like Toys for Bob and Vicarious Visions and Beanox are doing the Crash Team Racing remaster.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is a bit weird.
I did not know Beanox would be.
I'm not sure if it's Beanox.
I'm pretty certain on the trailer it says Beanox. They're, like, they're working on Black Ops 4.
They've got time.
But yeah, okay.
It's fine.
But like those companies, like, I mean, Vicarious Visions, bless them, they don't really do anything of their own, do they? They just pick up other people's rubbish.
Well, it's the Activision
with it. Yeah,
umbrella.
But like, yeah, exactly. That's why probably why Beanox are doing it, because they're owned by Activision as well. But I feel like those companies get that lease of life, being able to do that stuff. I mean, if they're quite happy doing that, not doing their own IPs, then fair enough. That fills a niche that they essentially cater for, and we can bring that to the forefront and make it a big thing.
There's a lot of passion in Spyro as well. Like, you can feel that they really care about making these. Because if you do side-by-side comparisons, like I said, either you go from game to game yourself or you just look at it online, like the level comparisons are insane. The amount of detail in those levels and in the games themselves is kind of insane on a visual and a fidelity rendering level. But it's like, yeah, maybe what I was saying before, like maybe this is just a new type of, like it needs a new word, like a revisit, a remake. Like it's something different. It's not a textual upgrade like an HD remake or a 4K upgrade. Like, well, if you put an old game into an Xbox One X, it'll update it. It'll, same game, but you'll get different texture options or whatever. Like, it'll make it smoother. And
that's
that kind
just
of
literally
thing.
A remaster.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that ends up with so much stuff gets thrown into that bucket as like a catch-all. But then something like this new wave that we've got. I mean, the Abe's Odyssey remake just went completely, no one talked about that in the same way that we are now.
It was slightly before its time in a way.
Totally be right next to Spyro and Crash, and it depends on how Final Fantasy VII one goes, but assumedly, like those kind of things. Because something like the Final Fantasy VII one, that'll be classified as a new game because it's going to play more like Final Fantasy XV.
Uh-huh.
And so, it changes enough for the percentage of that experience is different.
Well, I think this links in very well to the fact that games kind of. Conservation, in a way, is kind of completely messed up.
Mm.
Like, it's so... Well, unless you have, like, money and access, it is difficult to play a game in its original form.
Yes.
And game developers have constantly been re-releasing HD remasters that try to preserve it in a way.
It makes more sense for them to sell it back to.
Yes. Yeah. But no one would say, I don't think, that sort of Spyro Reignited supplants the original. They can coexist. And you can
I might
back.
Say that.
Would you actually?
Well, like, it depends what you mean, but
Like, I mean completely, like... You wouldn't get Spyro Reignited, I would say, and say, oh, this is it. This is Spyro the Dragon 1, 2, and 3. Don't bother about the original games.
It depends who it's for.
Really?
If someone
really?
Said, should I play Spyro? I would recommend them the Reignited trilogy. It's that perfect. It's that much of an imitation.
I think it's one of those things where I don't think they set out to try and replace the original.
No, they don't set out.
I don't think remake, even like remakes that we just never want to see happen. Like, for example, Back to Film, I would never, ever, ever want to see Back to the Future remake.
No.
They would never try and just replace the thing that came before. They normally try and make them coexist alongside each other.
Sometimes.
The sort of three different versions of the thing, even though obviously one's a remake of one and then the other's a prequel, but like they still kind of stand together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with something like Spyro versus Crash, like for playing the Crash Insane Trilogy was the first time I'd properly played Crash.
Right, right.
Because I didn't play it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of opened that door for me, but it doesn't, in my eyes, replace it. So I feel like they deliberately go and make these things coexist.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I think
that's kind of helps my argument in a way, because they are trying to make them coexist. One does not overtake the other, like a way a sort of HD remaster is supposed to. You're supposed to look at that and be like, oh, this is it, how it was intended to be.
Right.
This is
like a director's cut.
Yeah, like a director's cut or something like that.
It's not like me playing Last of Us remastered on the PS4 thinking, oh, I should really go and play the PS3 one because that's apparently better in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
That's
the same game.
That's weird because that almost like highlights the exact thing. Well, yeah, it depends. It all comes down to like how much they've done, how much work they've done, because if it's a textural upgrade, then yeah, you're never going to go, well, I want to see this blurrier. So like you'll just... you'll play it as pristine and crisp as possible. But that's the thing. I mean, like, for the Spyro one, like, yeah, if someone said, should I play Spyro, I would recommend the Reignited Trilogy. I wouldn't recommend Crash because I think they ballsed up the jumping physics. That's a contentious thing, but whatever. So it's going to be game. It would be case by case. But in some cases, like, because Spyro fundamentally plays the same way as the old one, I would just recommend Reignited because it looks that much better.
Also, and so you've got the accessibility arguments as well, which is kind of a separate thing. But like, yeah, I don't. I mean, I have got a PS2, so I could play it if I found a copy.
Well,
of it,
the thing
like,
is,
not everyone does. So.
No, and like going back to Spyro on the Vita, initially before I changed the camera controls, I completely forgot that old school platformers one didn't have analog sticks, and two you had to rotate the cameras on the buttons.
Oh, awful.
So I was just like, oh god. But
going
you can
back
change
and
that.
Playing Hit and Run or the Harry Potter games on the PS2.
Yeah.
This is kind of what you were saying earlier, Scott. When like it's how your mind's eye remembers it. You remember it not only looking beautiful, but playing with a kind of modern, because you're so used to modern controls.
You just assume.
Assume it was like that before.
True.
Despite not even having analog sticks.
I know. And that, like, I don't think that fundamentally changes. I've used the word fundamentally so much in this damn thing. But I think, I question like how much that sort of like does completely change the experience. I do still think that like Spyro is a complete visual overhaul, and having gone from the old to the new like weeks apart, that like they play nigh on the same. It's a refined, like perfected version of that old one. But I do think that there is a way to approach this entire debate by just saying like, well, what percentage of the experience feels different, and maybe that's the way you come down on it, because like. Then you could say that Spyro feels different.
I think it's just open to interpretation, which means going into the
game. No, there's rules, Rich.
Going into the game of the year 2019 debate way away in December, we lay out all of the remasters, remakes on the table and go, right, so which ones count and which ones don't? We have another big debate.
Yeah. I mean, well, go on.
Well, what you said there, like, I love the idea of you being able to sort of get a percentage of what's different stuff. But like I said before, it fundamentally changes, there's that word again, on like a person-by-person basis. You might not care too much about certain things that I care loads about.
That's the whole subjective objective. That you can get completely lots of minefield. It's easier to focus on the stuff you can see right in front of you. Like Spyro Reignited is visually overhauled. Like you can literally side by side and see that this new version is better. It's rendered better. The graphic quality is way better. And so like we're kind of, as nearly always with these things, we're probably both right, regardless of the subjective thing, because it is a 2018 game. It is like those graphics couldn't have been done back in the day, but at the same time the core framework, even though it was recreated, is from 1998, but like it still plays with a level of controllability and accessibility and whatever that makes it more modern, so it's kind of both. I still don't. It is a 2018 game.
I feel like I'm kind of convinced you're Scott.
You are a new one. I mean, it's...
Right, we're going to get a reshoot game of the year 2018.
Rich, what you said, I was trying to dig into that for a second. That was really interesting when you mentioned that the first time you played Crash Bandicoot was in the sort of NSYNC trilogy. Mm. And I think sometimes we forget...
What a horrifying reality that is.
Be quiet, because it's one of the games of the year, Scott. But I think sometimes we forget that we are old men. Some older than others. But there will be people who are just growing up, like...
Playing the worst version of Crash Bandicoot. Yeah, good.
But it's a version, though, isn't it? Nonetheless.
They're still playing
it. Yeah, but that's like, imagine watching the Vince Vaughn Psycho and then be like, I saw Psycho.
Exactly.
Well, that would be my point in that case.
Exactly, Scott, my point.
Not everyone's played Crash Team Racing, but a lot of people will have, thanks to this remaster.
True.
So, you know, there'll be just more people for you to whoop.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's what I was going
to
say.
You would go to Rich and you'd be like, stop playing this. It's not the way it should be played. Go back, play the originals. And that, to me, kind of proves that they're two completely different products.
Interesting.
It's trying to imitate what came before, and it kind of messed it up in a way. So you would go, right, go play the original.
In that case, though, in Spyro's, because it does it so well, I would just say play the new one, which is me saying you might as well play the old ones too, because they're so similar. Well, therefore, maybe, it's not maybe, as new as you think.
Maybe it's all just down to critical reception then. Like, for example, like based on how good or bad a remake should be, maybe, I know obviously Scott wouldn't agree, but like for me, it comes across like Scott would say that Spyro should be up for Game of the Year, whereas Crash shouldn't, because they botched Crash and they did Spyro perfectly.
It wasn't about technical execution. It was always about the fundamental core, the percentage of the experience. So it was always for me that both those games are the same as they were back in the day with visuals.
I don't know, but I mean, maybe the idea of it being utterly perfect should maybe play into the idea of maybe we should give this a
but it was always perfect. It was perfect back in the day, so it's like there's
but again,
that.
The fact that they managed to redo it, I mean, I bring in Sonic all the time. Christian Whitehead manages to recreate the Mega Drive engine like almost perfectly, something Sega Sega themselves didn't even do it.
Sonic Mania has new levels.
That's not part of the remaster.
Oh, it's such more, a swamp.
It's so deep we can go into today. It's ridiculous.
It's good. It's a very good one to have. You guys should all let us know what you think down in the comments below. Or find us on social media if you're listening on wherever you happen to be listening. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich.
Thank you for watching / listening.
And joined by Josh Brown.
Hello and goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.